We are holding on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the we had Rabbi Yochanan telling us that if a zor sets up the marocha, the wood pile on the mizbeach, there were actually at least two wood piles. We're going to learn later in the masech the different opinions. So Rabbi Yochanan had said he's chayv misa for that. So Rabbi Zera had asked on that, and we said the wood pile itself would be puzzle. They have to take it apart, and a koyan has to set it up because the pasuk dafka says that a koyan has to do that. On the other hand, Rabbi Zera asks why. I mean, the setting up the wood pile could be done by night, so how could such an avoda be puzzle by a zor? The question is either why is it puzzle, or even if we agree that it's puzzle, why would it be so serious as to be mechayev in misa? And therefore, we changed it to say that if the Zohar sets up the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, the two pieces of wood that they have to bring every morning together with the Korban Tamid, or shortly before the Korban Tamid, then those he would be chayav for. So then we said that, and we said that the setting up of the wood pile has to be done dafka by day. It can be done rather during the night as well. But the Sidra Marocha we have in morning davening, Marocha Gdola Kademus, Marocha Shnei Shok Teres, Marocha Shnei Shok Teres, Kademus, the Sidra Shnei Gizre Eitzim. So the setting up of the wood pile could be done still while it's nighttime, but the Shnei Gizre Eitzim have to be done already while it's daytime. So the Gemara says, Omama Zutra, V'itemer of Ashi, Bohan Nan Lo Tanan Hachi. On the other hand, the next Mishnah, the beginning of the next Perek, seems to contradict that. This that we're saying that the Shnei Gzira Eitzim has to be done during the day. Because the Mishnah says, Omalahem Amamuna, the Mamuna, the one in charge, tells them, we said the Mamuna might be, Rashi says the Mamuna is the Sagan. We learned previously that Tosfos disagrees with that. And says that it's somebody else who was in charge. Anyway, so he tells them, "Su'ur u'i migiyas man hashchita, go out and see," meaning they have to climb up onto a roof or a high wall or whatever in the Bais Mikdash and see whether there's enough daylight yet for it to be the time of the shchita of the Korban Tamid. V'iluzman shnei gzira etzim loikatani. Now, he's not saying to them, go see if it's time to put the shnei gzira etzim on the mizbeach. So the implication seems to be that if they put the shnei gzira etzim and it turned out that it was still nighttime, then it would be kosher. So the Gemara says that's not necessarily a proof, because you could say, hach de leslach takan takatani, the Mishnah maybe is only focusing on something where there's no way to fix it if they did it by night. As the Mishnah goes on to say, that one time they mistakenly thought it was daylight when it wasn't, and they shechted the Korban Tamid, and then it turned out, since it was at night, they had to go burn it. So there's no way of getting that back. Therefore, the Mishnah stresses that they wanted to check that they would actually have to go up to the roof or the wall or whatever in order to check whether it was daylight yet. Hachti isla takanta like a tani. Whereas when it comes to the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, the Chachamim weren't going to be matriach somebody to climb all the way up to there, because if it happens that they put, it's true, it has to be put on by day, but if they put it on by night, okay, all you have to do is take it off, and then all you have to do is take it off, and then you can put it back on later. So therefore they wouldn't, so the Mishnah doesn't mention that they would check first what time it is in order to know whether to put the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, even though we could say the Shnei Gzira Eitzim do have to be placed by day. Because if they put them on too early, then fine, they can just take them off and put them on later. There is, by the way, a different Rishonim talk about, do we mean that they would set up the Marocha Gdola, they would light the fire, and later on they would put the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, or is it that they would set up the wood pile, they would put on the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, and only later on would they light all of it together? And different Rishonim talk about different possibilities. Okay. Now the Gemara says, V'ikad da'amri. Now, another version is Maskifla Reb Zera. We're going back to Reb Zera's question earlier in the middle of the Amud on Reb Yechanan. We started again saying that Reb Yechanan had said that if a Zor sets up the Ma'arocha, then he's Chayiv Misa. And according to the first version, Reb Zera had asked that given that the Ma'arocha can be set up by night, how could that be the kind of thing that a Zor should be Chayiv Misa for? And therefore, we changed it to the Shnei Gzira Eitzim. So now the Ikka D'Amri, now another version is that we're going, now another version is that we're going back to that. And Reb Zera had a different question. Maskifla Reb Zera, v'chi yesh lach avoida, sheyesh acharei avoida, upsula bezor. Is there Is there an avoda which is followed by another avoda that would be possible by a zar? Again, according to Rashi, maybe that would be actually possible, and according to and according to Tosfos Yeshanim, or maybe even according to Rashi, to the extent that he should be chayev misav. In other words, we talked about the other day that for a zar to be chayev misan and avoda, it has to fit two criteria. It has to be avodas matana. It has to be something that involves placing something on the mizbeach as opposed to taking it off. And it had, this was according to Rav, and it had to be avoda, and it had to be avoda tama. It had to be an avoda which is the last one in its sequence. Now, we're assuming over here, when it comes to setting up the wood pile, with the Ma'arocha G'dola, you still have another avoda in that connection afterwards because you have to put the Shnei Gzir Eitzim. So why would a Zor be Chayiv Misa for setting up the Ma'arocha if it's not an avoda tama? It's an avoda sheyesh acharei avoda. Therefore he shouldn't be chayav misa for it. So the Gemara asks back. Now the next piece over here that we the next couple of lines over here are basically a repetition of the what we had previously on Reb Zera's first version. According to Rashi, they actually don't belong in the Gemara because We already talked about a few days ago when we had this discussion about avoda tama and not. We already talked about the evorim updorim and truma sadeshin and explained that those are and explained why those would or wouldn't be why a zor would or wouldn't be chayiv misa for them. So therefore, Rashi says all it is just we had the previous version of what Reb Zera had asked, and the copyists by mistake copied over this piece, these next couple of lines, to the Gemara over here. On the other hand, Tosfos has them in, and Tosfos explains that the question is that what the Gemara is going to say is that if Reb Zera is telling us that an avoda sheyesh achrei avoda is something that a zor is not chayiv misa for, then I can show you examples of things that are avoda sheyesh achrei avoda that are not avoda tama where a zor is chayiv misa for them. So then why is Reb Zera, what's the premise of Reb Zera's question in the first place? So according to the gears that we have in front of us, then the Gemara asks, what about burning the limbs and fats that are left over from the previous day on the Mizbeach? That's something that's avoida sheyesh acharei avoida, because you have to get them because after they're burnt, then you have the mitzvah of Truma Sadeshin. So that's not the last thing that's done with the Evorim Updorim. And yet we consider Evorim Updorim to be an Avoida She'ein Achrei Avoida, because Tosfos explains, according to their Girsa, that they have this in the Gemara, because the fact that you have Truma Sadeshin, but Truma Sadeshin is done, the Truma Sadeshin is done later on. So it's done so much later on the Evorim Updorim, conceivably, Tosfos says, could be burnt during the day. You don't have to burn them during the night. Whereas Truma Sadeshin, by definition, takes place during the night. So therefore, you can't consider it a continuation. When we say that there's another avoda that comes after one, we mean during the same day, as opposed to here, where conceivably it could be the next day. So according to Tosfos, again, the question is that Evorim Updorim, on the face of it, it should be considered an avoda sheyesh acharei avoda, and the answer is it's not. So if avoda diyamami, because the fact is it's the end of the avoda of the day. Again, it could conceivably have been all done during the day. They didn't have to leave it over for the night to burn. So therefore, and Truma Sadeshin, which is the next thing that you do with these burnt evorim updorim, takes place only by night. Therefore, you can't call it avoda sheyesh acharei avoda. So that doesn't contradict Reb Zera's premise. Reb Zera's premise is that when you have two avodas that are done with the same thing, one after the other, during the day, then the first one is not avoda tama. Therefore, the sidur hamarocha, the setting up the wood pile, can't be considered avoda tama because you still have to put the shnei gzir eitzim on it afterwards. Whereas when it comes to the evorim updorim, those conceivably could have been done by night, by day. The fact that they're done by night and the fact that Truma Sadeshin is done later on during the same night, that's nothing because they didn't have to be. The Evorim Updorim are essentially a continuation of the avoda of the previous day. What about Vare Truma Sadeshin? What about Truma Sadeshin then? You have What about Truma Sadeshin? Why don't we why we said that Levi says that a Zor is chayiv for Truma Sadeshin. Rav had said it's potter only because of avodah siluk, implying that it would be considered an avodah tama. Why? But after all, later on you have Hotsah Sadeshin, as we said at the beginning of the perek, you have this Truma Sadeshin, the spoonful, the panful, whatever, of coal, of ashes that they would take off the Mizbeach every day. But later on, you also have Hotsah Sadeshin. You have to have all the ashes that are on the tapuach in the middle of the Mizbeach have to be removed as well. And the answer is still Truma Sadeshin, Tchilas Avoida Di Mamun. Truma Sadeshin is the first avoida of the day. Because on the other hand, it does take place by night. Because the Truma Sadeshin takes place by night. Hotsah, if it's going to take place, it's not even necessarily Hotsah doesn't necessarily take place every day. But if it does, it's only going to be in the daytime. And Truma Sadeshin is already the beginning of the morning avoda. The Amar Rabbi Yechanan, as we see before, that Rabbi Yechanan said, Kiddush Yodav L'Truma Sadeshin, that if a Kohen does Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim to do Truma Sadeshin, L'mocha Ein Etzarech L'Kaddish, then during the daytime, he doesn't again need to do Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim, unless he went to the bathroom or whatever, Shekva Kiddush Metchilas Avoida, because he already did the Kiddush from the beginning of the Avoida. So in other words, again, the idea is, so yes, Truma Sadeshin could be considered Avoida Tama, because it takes place by night and whatever is going to take place after it is only during the day. So therefore, so it is an avoda tama. So according to Levi, that's enough to make him chayev misa for doing it. And even according to Rav, the only reason why not is because it's avoda siluk, because it's an avoda involving taking something off the mizbeach. So again, according to the first version of the Gemara, Rav Zeira was asking from the fact that it's an avoda that takes place by night. According to the second version, he's asking about the fact that it doesn't seem to be an avoda tama, and the answer is that it doesn't seem to be an avoda tama. So Ela Kasha, okay, so then fine, that is a valid question then. It's not an avoda tama. How is a zor chayiv for it? So again, Eli Itma, Hochi Itma, rather, if it was said, this is what was said, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan, Zor Shesidu, Shnei Gzira Eitzim Chayim. If a Zor sets up puts the two logs of wood that have to be put together with the Korban Tamid on the wood pile, then he's Chayim. Hoyov Avoda Tamar. Because that is an Avoda Tamar. So again, in the first version, we corrected what Rabbi Yechanan had said, to say that it's an Avodas Yoim. It's an Avoda that takes place during the day. Because that was Reb Zeira had asked. It takes place by night. How could a Zor be chayiv misa for it? And the answer is that not. The Shnei Gzira Eitzim takes place by day. Now we're saying differently. Reb Zeira's question was, how can you be chayiv him? It wasn't an avodah tama. It's not an avodah tama. And the answer is the Shnei Gzira Eitzim is an avodah tama. Because after that, you have nothing else particular that you're doing with the wood. I mean, you know, later on, again, you know, throughout the day, they may be feeding the fire with wood, but they don't necessarily have to. It depends how fast it's burning. So therefore, once they put the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, that's the end of the avoda that they're doing with wood for that day, or for that korban. So then, according to the second version, Maskif Lo Rava, then Rava says, in that case, Ela Me'ata Tiboya Pious. In that case, shouldn't the Shnei Gzira Eitzim require a pious? We had that question of Rava in the first version as well, and we said that Rava had forgotten that, in fact, there is a pious for the Shnei Gzira Eitzim, because whoever wins Truma Sadeshin also wins the Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Here in the second version, the Gemara doesn't say that Rava forgot. It just says, V'loy boy a pious. What are you telling me, Rava? You're telling me that the Shnei Gzira Eitzim do not require a pious? V'hatanya, we learn in a Braisa that it does. Misha Zacha B'Truma Sadeshin, whoever won the right to do Truma Sadeshin, Yizka B'Sidur Shnei Gzira Eitzim. He also gets, among other things, to set up the two pieces of wood. So yes, there is a pious for it. So, Rava, you're asking why there's no pious, and on the face of it, it's an avoda tama. It should be important enough to require a pious. There is a pious for it. The question is, hachi kama? Okay, but what Rava means is yafaisu lo b'fnei atzma. They should make a separate pious for it. Why are we including it together with Truma Sadeshin and just throwing it in there in order to make it more attractive to the kohen? It should be important enough to require a pious of its own. And the answer is kedam rinan. Like we said at the beginning of the parak, that once they started making a pious for Trumas Hadeshen, then the Kohenim were less likely to show up because they're going to figure it's not like I can run a foot race and win it. It's going to depend on a pious which is out of my control. Therefore, I may as well not bother waking up so early in order to do it. And therefore, they have to sweeten the pot by putting in several other avodas. So that's what it is. In other words, in principle, maybe it should have had a pious of its own, but like this, instead they used it as an incentive for Kohenim to get Kohenim to do Trumas Hadeshen. And Marsha actually has a different gears over here, not Kedam Rinan, but Ella Kedam Rinan, which means according to Marsha, the Gemara is actually retracting its answer and saying, you're right. We can't say that the problem is the fact that Truma that Shnei Gzira Eitzim is not Avoidatama. We do in fact have to say that we go back to the original answer that only if it's that only an avoida that takes place during the day is of Zor Rechayev Misafor, whether it's Avoidatama or not. We did have the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan the other day when we had the sugya about which things a zor isn't chayav for, we had the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. In fact, we said that a zor, we also in Or Gemara, that the zor who sets up the Shnei Gzira Eitzim is chayav for it. So even if we argue that Shnei Gzira Eitzim is, we can say it's not avoda tama because maybe there's still, after all, there is the burning of the wood to be done, and therefore that doesn't matter. Rabbi Yechanan would still say he's chayev anyway, and we'd go back to the original version of what Rabbi Yechanan said that the reason is because avodas yoyim. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Lememra da avoda tama v'zor chayev alei misa boya pais." So you're telling me then, apparently, according to what you just said, that only if something is avoda tama and a zor is chayev misa for it, boya pais, only such an avoda requires a pais. Ein zor chayev alei misa loy boya pais. You seem to be saying that if it's not an important enough avoda for a zor to be chayev misa, then it shouldn't require a pais, because that's what you're asking. Once you have the shnei gzira etzim, is avoda tama. And it is an avoida that a zor is chayiv misa. Then you're saying that's important enough that it should require a pious, and you're wondering why it doesn't. So obviously your premise, the premise is that you're saying any avoida that meets those two criteria requires a pious. Vare shchita. What about the shechting of the korban tamid? That requires a pious, even though we said before. That a zor can shecht korbanos. So the answer is shiny shchita. The tchilas avoda diyamamahi. Shchita is different because it's the beginning of the daytime avoda. So therefore, in other words, it's true. It doesn't technically require a koyin. A zor could do it, but it was important to the koyanim, and therefore there was important to the koyanim, and it's the beginning avoda of the day. So therefore, they would add it. Therefore, they would have it included in the pious as well. And in fact, they would. Kind of not only included in the pious, but it would be the first koyin that they picked in the pious. The one that the number actually landed on would be the one who shechts, and then the next one, the one next to him, would be the one who does the zrika, etc. Next, Tosfos again has a long discussion over here about the structure, about the flow of the Gemara over here. It's not necessarily that all of this is part of the second Lashon. What it is that we had the second Lashon of Reb Zeira's question, and now we're continuing with Rava's objections to. One second. Sorry. So the Gemara is continuing over here with various angles of Rava's question and the answer of it. Okay. Fine. So the question is still a memra da avoda tama boya pious. So still, what are you telling me? That apparently only an avoda tama requires a pious, only if there's no avoda in that sequence after it. Avoda shiyash achare avoda loy boya pious, and an avoda which has another avoda after it does not. Because again, that was Reb Zeira's question that since this is an avoda tama, he asked originally when we said that if a zora sets up the ma'arocha, then he's chayev, implying that why is that setting up the ma'arocha is not avoda tama? And then we ended up saying that it is that that rather the Shnei Gzira Eitzim is Avodah Tama. And we asked, then why is there no pious for it? So apparently you're saying that only an Avodah Tama requires a pious. Avodah apparently you're willing to accept that an avoda that has another avoda after it in the same sequence, for example, the Kabbalah Saddam would be one example, does not require a pious. But again, now again, Rashi takes out these two questions and answers over here for the same reason as before, because Rashi says it's basically a repetition of what we said before. There's no reason to ask the same questions again. According to Tosfos, we do have them in because now we're all dealing with the second lashon of Reb Zera's question and the whole discussion that flows from it, and therefore we have to establish these things as well, just like we had to establish before what is an avodas yoim and what is not. The same way we have to establish what is an avodah tama and what's not. So vahare evorim upgarim. So what about the evorim upgarim? Again, we said that the fourth pious determines who brings them up to the Mizbeach, which is also, therefore, who's responsible for burning them by night. And we see there was a pious for it. And the answer is, as we said before, sof avodah d'yamama. Essentially, it's the end of the avodah of the day. They brought them up to the Mizbeach. They brought them up from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach during the day. And then if they don't get burned during the day, then they still have to continue burning them at night. But essentially, it's something that takes place during the day, and therefore they have the therefore they have a pious for it. What about Vayre Trumas Adeshen? Why, if Trumas Adeshen is not Avodah Tama, because we established before that Trumas Adeshen is not necessarily Avodah Tama, because again, after it, later on, at some point, you're going to have to take out the rest of the ashes from the Mizbeach. The answer is fine. Mishum Maisa Shahoya, you're right. Technically, Trumas Adeshen shouldn't have required a pious, but we have the story that happened at the beginning of the Perek about one Kohen stabbing the other one and one Kohen pushing the other one off the Kevesh, and therefore they had to make a pious for it. And in this second version, again, Omer Mazuta V'Temer Avashi, Afanan Nami Tanena. In fact, we can demonstrate that the Shnei Gzira Eitzim can take place is considered an Avodah Tama. Which would mean, in other words, again, we had Rav saying a few days ago that there were only four avodas for which a zor is chayev misa, and he didn't list Shnei Gzira Eitzim among them. Levi also didn't. Levi added Trumas Adeshen, but not Shnei Gzira Eitzim. Rabbi Yochanan is adding Shnei Gzira Eitzim. So Mazutra or Ravashi is saying we can prove Rabbi Yochanan's point from the following Mishnah. Again, before, in the first version, we brought it as a question that the Mishnah had implied that Shnei Gzira Eitzim can be done by night. Now that we have a different lashon over here, we're not concerned with whether it can be done by night or not. Trumas Adeshen can be done by night, after all. Also, we're concerned with whether it's an avodah tama. So we can see from the next Mishnah that there is an avodah that follows it. Namely, once they finish putting on the wood, they still, though that job is not complete until they actually put the evorim on it, which is later on. So again, the Mishnah says, "Amar lahem amona, tsur ru'i migiyaz man ha-shchita. Go out and see if the time of the shchita has arrived. V'iluzman sidur shnei gzira etzim lekatani. It doesn't mention the sidur shnei gzira etzim, which implies, therefore, that it's an avoda that takes place by night. And then it itself is an avoda tama. It itself is a complete avoda. You finish setting up the wood pile. Only later on during the day are you going to have that they put the evorim on it. That doesn't prevent it from being avoda tama, because during the night, that's the last avoda in its sequence. So that would show that, because since they don't mention zman sidur shnei gzira etzim, implies that it could be done by night and therefore it can be considered an avodah tama. But again, the Gemara says loy, not necessarily. Katoni hach the less latakanta, because sidur shnei gzira etzim loy katoni. The answer is not necessarily hach the less latakanta katoni. The Mishnah might only be mentioning things, the shechting of the korban tamid, where there's no takana. If they shecht it early, then there's nothing you can do. You're gonna have to take it out and burn it. It doesn't mention hach the isla takanta like katoni. It may not be mentioning the sidur shnei gzira etzim, not necessarily because the shnei gzira etzim have to be done, but not necessarily because they could be done by night. Maybe they do have to be done during the day, but because if they put them on during the night, no big deal. It's easy enough to take them off and then put them back on. Whereas the tamid, once they shecht it, then there's no taking it back. So not necessarily does that Mishnah prove Rabbi Yochanan's point that the shnei gzira etzim, a zog, would be chayev. Okay. With that said, the Rambam does paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. For one thing, because we have a general rule when we have a machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, the halacha is generally like Rabbi Yechanan. So therefore, yes. So a zar is chayev for the four things that Rabbi Yechanan, that is a zar is chayev misa for the four things that Rav mentioned the other day. We said the four things we said were sprinklings, which is sprinklings of blood on the mizbeach, as well as the sprinkling of the oil done for a mitzvah. Also, haktara, burning things on the mizbeach, nisuch hamayim and nisuch hayayin. And then we also add what Rabbi Yechanan says, also put in the shnei gzireitzim. On the other hand, we said if a zor sets up the rest of the wood pile, it's possible, but the zor is not going to be chayiv misa for it. We do have to take it apart and put it back to, and a zor and a koyin has to put it back together, though. Hadron alach barishayna. Now, in this third perek, we're going to start with the actual avoda of Yom Kippur. We left off at the end of the first perek. We talked about that they keep the Kohen Gadol all night. We said the Trumas Hadeshen on Yom Kippur takes place earlier than it usually does. And we had the Machloikas over there. Is that because the Kohen Gadol himself has to do it and we want to give him time to relax before the next Avodah? Or is it because we want the other Kohenim can do it, but we want them to do it as early as possible so that we can get the Kohen Gadol started on the Avodah of Yom Kippur as soon as possible? Because after all, after the Trumas Hadeshen, we first have to set up the wood piles and things, and that takes time. So then we had the whole second parak that dealt with the seder of the piyosis in the Beis Mikdash. And again, according to the Baal HaMor, that's only the rest of the year, not on Yom Kippur. According to the Ramban and the Rambam, at least some of that takes place on Yom Kippur as well. Now, we're getting back to the actual avodah of Yom Kippur. So actually, the first half of our Mishnah really applies throughout the year as well. The rest of it is going to begin with things that they did particularly on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah starts. The Mamuna, the one in charge, said to them, which again, Rashi says that it means the Sgan, and Tosfos Yeshanim earlier said not necessarily, it might be some other Kohen who's in charge of things. Anyway, he tells them, Tzur Uim Igiyaz Man HaShchita. Go out and see whether the time of Shchita has come, meaning go onto a roof or onto a high wall or a roof or whatever, and see if it's light enough in the sky that we can shecht the Korban Tumid, because you can't shecht it by night. If that time came, if it is light enough in the sky, now the point is that, we're going to see in the Gemara a few different opinions how light it has to be. It definitely has to be after Alois HaShachar. It definitely was sometime before Netzach Hamah, but how light it has to be between those two things, that we're going to see a couple of different opinions. So if it arrived, Haroya Ima Barkai, the one who was looking out over there, the one who went up onto the roof, would say Barkai, the word Barak means lightning, so it means a flash. So in other words, Rashi brings a couple of psukim, like Heiru Barak and Tevil, the meaning, in other words, that the word Barkai means there's light in the sky. There's a flash of light in the sky. Masya ben Shmuel, I'm a heir pnei kol ha-mizrach. Masya ben Shmuel says the whole eastern side of the sky is lit up. Now, most of the Mephoshim explain that Masya ben Shmuel is saying this as a Tana. He's a Tana, and he disagrees with the Tanakama. He said the Tanakama is saying that the observer says Barkai, and Masi ben Shmuel says he says Heir Kol Pnei Mizrach. Now, does that mean that he's actually arguing on the actual amount of light that there has to be? Maybe, or maybe it's just that maybe Rabbeinu Eliyakim says that maybe it's just he's saying that they used a different lashon. Instead of saying Barkai, they said Heir Kol Pnei Mizrach. Rashi in Menachos gives a different explanation that. We learned in Shkolim, this Masi ben Shmuel was in charge of the piyosis. He's the one in charge of these four piyosis, these four lotteries that we made throughout the day to determine which Kohen does what. So he, not as a Tana, is disagreeing, but he, standing on the ground over there, waiting for it to be light enough that they can begin the piyosis and begin with the avodas, he would say, you told me Barkai, but let me ask you, is it Heir Kol Pnei Mizrach? Is the entire eastern sky lit? Ad Shebechevren, so Chevren, who I'm a Hain, and he says yes. We'll learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Bez Hashem, about that last part. Heyo Kol Pnei Mizrach, Ad Shebechevren, who I'm a Hain, what exactly the conversation was, who's saying what, or who's asking what, and who's answering what. They mention Chevron, by the way. He's saying that the light is visible as far as Chevron. The Yerushalmi says that they wanted to specifically mention Chevron in order to evoke the schus of the others who are buried in Chevron. There's a Chassidish vote that says on that. By the same token, then, for example, if you mention Berdichev, then that alone is enough to evoke the schus of Rabbi Levi Yitzchok Berdichev. The same way as we're saying over here, Chevron is enough to evoke the schus of the others. Some of the Mephoshim say that they did that every day of the year. Other Mephoshim say that this part about Ad Shabbat Chevron was specifically only on Yom Kippur, because then more than any other time they wanted to evoke schus others. Okay. So the Gemara says, now why do they need that whole rigmarole? Why do we need to climb up and see? Let's just, when we see enough light on the ground, then we know it's time. The reason is, one time the moonlight came up, the Gemara is going to explain that this wasn't on Yom Kippur. This was a different time, but some other time, one time, we know that towards the end of the month, the moon rises in the middle of the night or close to the morning. So one time the moonlight rose, v'dimu sheheir mizrach, they mistakenly thought that the eastern sky was lit up. V'shachter was a tamid, and they shechted the korban tamid. And then when it turned out, when they realized their mistake, right to you, the base has to, for they have to take it out and burn it, because a korban that's shechted by night is possible. So to avoid that in the future, they had from then on that someone would climb up onto the roof or the wall or whatever and see whether the sky is actually lit up. Continues the Mishnah, once they finished with that, once they established that it's light enough in the sky to begin the avoda, then they would bring the Kohen Gadol down to the Beis HaTevilah and have him toivel, the first tevilah of the day. Because the general rule in the Beis HaMikdash was kol ha-mesach ha-siraglav ton tevilah, anyone who went to the bathroom for gedolim requires tevilah afterwards. The Gemara doesn't specifically say why. The Meiri says a reason, just in case maybe some tzoya stuck to his skin, so this way tevilah will remove it. And anyone who urinates, tone kiddush adayim v'raglayim, has to first do kiddush adayim v'raglayim before he can do the avoda, for reasons that we're going to explain in the Gemara on Daf Lamed. So the Kohen Gadol, sometime during the night or earlier, we said actually earlier when we described the Kohen Gadol's schedule each of the days before Yom Kippur, we said he would wake up and go to the bathroom. So then, there for that reason, then he has to total. But in any case, he has to tovel five times on Yom Kippur, and this was the first tevilah of them. Rashi, by the way, mentions mesach raglav. How does mesach raglav come to mean defecating? Because a person sits down or crouches down, and he covers his legs with his clothes. Mesach raglav literally means he makes a schach over his legs. So that became the term. You even have it in Tanakh by Shoal that's the delicate term for going to the bathroom for gedolim. Okay. So the Kohen Gadol would have to tovel before he's going to start the avoda of the day. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa about the lashon that the guy would use. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Brak Bar Koy. Rabbi Shmuel says that the guy standing on the roof over there would announce, if it's light enough, Brak Bar Koy, the Bar Koy has flashed. In other words, there's already some light in the sky. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ola Bar Koy. Rabbi Akiva says that he would say Bar Koy has come up. Now, Rashi explains that each of these Tanoim is adding to the previous one, meaning, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is saying it's good enough if Brak Bar Koy, and Rabbi Akiva is saying that's not good enough. You need more light than that. You need enough for him to be able to say Ola Bar Koy. And then the next one is going to say even more than that. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Aryakim says not necessarily. They may just be saying different lashonis. They may just be arguing what was the lashon that the guy used, but it would all mean the same time. Anyway, so we have Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Nechumya ben Afkashian Omer, Af Bar Koy b'Chevron. It's also Bar Koy in Chevron, meaning, as we said in the Mishnah, like Masi ben Shmuel says, that there's already a little bit of light in Chevron as well. Masi ben Shmuel Omer, and as we said in the Mishnah, Masi ben Shmuel says, Hamamunah ala Piyosis Omer, he was the one in charge of the Piyosis. He would say, Heir kol pnei mizrach ad shebechevron, the whole eastern side of the sky until Chevron is lit up. Chevron is basically due south of Yerushalayim. So what it means is, in other words, the entire eastern sky from north to south along the eastern side is all lit up. And again, there's no reason to mention Chevron more than any other place except to mention the schos of the Avos who are buried in Chevron. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira has an even later opinion. Heir pnei kol ha-mizrach ad b'chevron. Not only the eastern sky is lit up as far as Chevron, but the yotzu kolam ish l'malachtei. Everyone has gone out to their work. Now, usually workers would leave at Netzachama. So the Gemara asks, "Hachi naga leitova." In that case, it's already very light. You don't need to send up somebody to the roof to see whether it's light. It should be obvious standing on the ground if it's that light. The answer is lisko poelim kamin, and we don't mean that when people are going out to actually work. We're talking about when prospective employers go out to look for workers. They want the workers. The balabas wants the workers to be able to start at Netzachama. Therefore, he has to go out earlier than Netzachama to find workers who are willing to work and who are willing to accept and who are willing to accept the wages that he's offering. So therefore, that means he has to leave before Netzachama. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that point when people are leaving to go do that is the time when we can shecht the korban tamid and get started with the avodah of the day. Okay. So now the Gemara mentions something about the times of tefillah. Since we're talking about the time, since we're talking about the time for the avoda, so now we're going to talk about the time for tefillah. Amar of Safra sloisa de Avraham mikim shachrei koisli. The tefillah of Avraham, which means actually mincha, is can be said from when the walls become dark. Meaning, Rashi describes, you have walls. If you have walls that face towards the east, so from Netzachama until Chatzos, those walls are bathed in light from the sun, and therefore they're white. From the beginning, from Chatzos, the sun starts moving gradually towards the west. So therefore, then the side of the wall that previously was facing the sun now starts darkening because now the sun is overhead above the wall, and therefore so the sun is not shining directly on the surface of the wall. Therefore, the surface of the wall is a little darker than it was before, and that's after Chatzos. And so from that time, you could daven mincha. Now, why are we calling it Sloisa de Avraham if we know that Yitzchak was the one who originally was Masakin Mincha? So there's a few different explanations. Tosfos Yeshanim here says that one possibility is that Yitzchak was the one who was Masakin it, but once he did, then Avraham started davening it as well. So therefore, we call it Avraham. The Aruch says, you're right. I mean, we should mention Yitzchak, but because Avraham is the first and most important of the Avos, therefore we mention him, but it means, in other words, the tefillah of the Avos generically. Tosfos Yeshanim says another possibility. We're going to say later on the Amud that Avraham kept all the mitzvahs before they were given. So that would mean that he davened all the three daily tefillahs as well. But he just did it as a personal thing. Yitzchak was the one who was misaken that it should be for all generations that they should daven mincha. So therefore, the Gemara calls it Sloisa de Avraham, because Avraham was davening it even before Yitzchak came up with it. okay, so we're saying that it can be davened as soon as the walls start turning dark, meaning right after Chatzos. Now, Omer Rabbi Yosef Anan me Avraham Nekum v'Nigmar. So Rabbi Yosef says, why are we supposed to be learning from Avraham? So in other words, Rashi says the question is, how can you expect everybody to be as zoriz as Avraham? Avraham Avinu was very zoriz in mitzvahs. How can you impose that on everybody else? The Aruch says a different explanation, and Tosfos Yeshanim also says from Rabbeinu Tam that how can you daven mincha that early? Avraham Avinu, how can we learn from Avraham? You can't daven mincha that early right after Chatzos. Avraham was before Matan Torah. You can't learn from before Matan Torah what we do after Matan Torah. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Tana Gama me Avraham. In fact, actually, by the way, the Ritva says the reason why this discussion comes into the Gemara over here is because it has to do with the Zrizus. What we're saying in the Mishnah is that the moment that Barkai or Ola Barkai or Af Barkai or whatever, as soon as possible, they would start shechting the Korban Tamid. Now the question is why? Why do they have to send somebody up to the roof and have him look and see how light it is in the sky? Let him just wait a few minutes longer. Then it'll be more obviously light, and then they can shecht the korban tamid. So the Gemara is mentioning, so Rabbi Safra is saying, the same way as Avraham would make sure to daven mincha as soon as possible, so the same way we should be trying to bring the korban tamid as soon as possible. But Rabbi Yosef is asking, how can we learn from Avraham? Meaning, again, according to Rashi, how can we impose that kind of zrizus on everybody else? And according to the Aruch and Rabbi Natam, how can we learn from before Matan Torah and tell everybody to daven mincha right away at Chatzos, when, after all, you're only supposed to daven mincha at least a half hour after Chatzos? Amar Rava, so Rava says, Tana Gama me Avraham ba'anan le'gamirimine. So what? We find a Tana that learns from Avraham Avinu, and you want to say we shouldn't? What do we learn from Avraham? The Tanya, over Yom HaShemini Yimol B'Sarah Lo. So the Pasuk says on the eighth day, you make a bris milah for a baby. Melamet Shekol HaYom Kosher LaMilah. So that teaches us the fact that it says by Yom HaShemini, rather than it could have said by Boker HaShemini or something, teaches us that the whole day is kosher for milah. Elosh has risen Makdim LaMitzvahs. But people who are Zoris, people who are eager to do the mitzvah, do it as early as possible, and that is Shenema Vayashkim Avraham Baboka Vayachvish Vemma, because it says that Avraham woke up early and saddled his donkey. Or Hagoy Sabach brings a different one that's more directly related to davening. Vayashkim Avraham Baboka Elamokam Asha Omar Tramas Panei Hashem. Avraham woke up early in the morning, the day after Sodom, the day of that Sodom was destroyed, to daven in the same place where he had before. So we see, in other words, that the Braise is learning from Avraham Avinu Zrizus. So yes, we can learn from that as well. So what's Rabbi Yosef's question? Ella Omar Rava, Rabbi Yosef Hako Kashalai. So Rava says, fine. Rabbi Yosef's question was as follows. Not that we should have a problem learning from Avraham Zrizus, and not that we shouldn't be able to learn from before Matan Torah, but as follows. Ditnan, we learned in Pesachim, we said usually the Korban Tamid is brought in the middle of the afternoon, and then the Korban Pesach is brought after it. But we said, Chal Arab Pesachim Lias Erev Shabbos, if Erev Pesach comes out on Erev Shabbos, and then they need time to not only finish shechting all and stripping the skin and whatever off all the korbanos before Shabbos, but they also need time to get them home and roast them, because that has to be done. They have to at least put them in the oven to start roasting before Shabbos begins. So therefore, they would make the korban tumen as early as possible. Nishchat b'sheish u'mechza, they would shecht it 6.5 hours into the day. B'korev v'sheva u'mechza, and they'd finish being makrivit. They'd finish putting the pieces of it on the mizbeach at 7.5 hours. So Rabbi Yosef's question is that if you're telling me that you could daven mincha and you could bring the Tomat Shabbat HaBayim as soon as the walls start darkening, which we said is right after Chatzos, well then Minishchate Mishki Meshachri Kaisli. So let's be able to shecht it right away at Chatzos as soon as the walls start darkening. Why do we need to wait a half hour? And the whole point is then we're trying to do the Korban Tomat as early as possible in order to have as much time as possible in the afternoon for the Korban Pesach. So if we can in fact do it right after Chatzos, then we should be doing that. Why are we waiting another half hour? So that's the question. How could Reb Safra say that you could daven or bring the Korban Tumah as soon as Meshachri Kosli, when we see, based on that Mishnah, apparently you have to wait at least half an hour? And the Gemara says still, my kusha, still, why would Reb Yosef think that that's such a big kasha? First of all, maybe the walls of the Beis Mikdash would become dark only at 6.5 hours. Mishum deloy mechavni tova. Because they're not perfectly perpendicular. The walls of the Beis Mikdash were wider on bottom, and then they narrowed towards the top. In fact, you have the coastal now. Do you go to the coastal nowadays? It's somewhat like that. You have, if you go, it's a little hard to see with the part of the coastal that's exposed. You can see it more clearly when you go to the coastal tunnel tours or whatever. But you can see that the lower courses, the lower rows of stones are more out. The inner as you go further up, it narrows. That way, the wall is more stable. But the point is that affects the shadows. It means therefore that at Chatzos, the walls are not going to be turning dark yet, because again, the sun is overhead or almost overhead. Therefore, the exposed side of the wall, the side that was still gleaming in the sunlight all this time, is still going to be gleaming in the sunlight at Chatzos, because it's a little bit on a slant, so it's still sort of facing the sun. Only it takes a half hour after Chatzos for it to start darkening. So very well, Rabbi Safra says Mikima Shachri Kosli in the Beis Mikdash, that happened to be a half hour after Chatzos. Rabbeinu Hananel has a different gusa, that mechavni kosli. The point is that the walls of the Beis Mikdash were very exactly pointed towards the respective directions. The eastern wall very exactly faced towards the east, and so forth. So therefore, that would make it therefore that the shadows start getting cast a little bit later than they would if the walls were not exactly lined up with the cardinal directions. Anyway. So that's one thing. So that doesn't necessarily contradict the fact that we should daven mincha or bring the korban tamid only when the walls darken. And also, Inami, shiny Avraham, maybe Avraham Avinu was a special case. Maybe he could daven right away at Chatzos. It's like Ninus G'doy L'Hoysa B'Libay, because he had a lot of knowledge of astronomy. He knew exactly much more than most people about the details of how the sun and moon and the various planets move. So therefore, in fact, the Rashi brings from Gemara in Baba Basra that kings from all over the world would come and consult with Avraham about that. Josephus actually says that when Avraham went down to Mitzrayim at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, that he taught them a lot of the astronomy and the astrology that afterwards they became famous for knowing. Anyway, the point is that Avraham Avinu could daven right after Chatzos because he was expert enough to know when it really is Chatzos and therefore when to daven. Maybe the rest of us, you're right, the rest of us can't daven quite and or bring the Korban Tumah quite that early because we can't be sure. The sun moves only very slowly in the middle of the day, so it's not so obvious when it's overhead versus when it's not exactly overhead. Remember, they didn't have clocks in those days. So therefore, so it's not necessarily a contradiction that Avraham could daven right when the walls became dark versus that we should have to wait a little bit longer. And bring the Korban Tumah only a half an hour later. Inami, or another possibility, the reason why Avraham knew so much, Mishum Dezakin, V'yoshev Yeshiva Hava, with not just that he knew secular knowledge of Yitzhak Ninus, but because he was a Zakin, he was an elder Talmud Chacham, and he sat in the Yeshiva, and he learned from the Torah how things work exactly, and therefore what time to be able to daven. But the rest of us who don't have that expertise, not necessarily can we daven that early. In fact, there is a machlokas poskim on this, based on our Gemara over here. If you do know, let's say nowadays we have clocks, if you do happen to know that it's after Chatzos, could you daven mincha or not? Some of the Rishonim say yes. Others say that no. We see that the Korban Tumah, they would delay a half hour. So therefore, you always have to delay mincha at least a half an hour. You have a machlokas poskim about that. So therefore, for example, if a person daven mincha before Chatzos, then b'dieved maybe he's yotze. Not before Chatzos. Before Chatzos, for sure, he's not Yotze. Sorry, after Chatzos, but before Mincha Gdola. Before the time that you have on the calendar is a half a Shah's Manus. After Chatzos, if a person davens between Chatzos and that, then maybe B'dieved, he's Yotze. So Avraham was Zokin V'yoshev Yeshiva Hava. So therefore, that tremendous expertise that he had in Torah gave him the knowledge to know when it's exactly right after Chatzos, and therefore when he could daven. Not necessarily can we follow that. Ever since the time of our Avos, a yeshiva never left them. They always had a yeshiva. They always had a yeshiva where they were learning and teaching Torah. The Ein Yaakov has a slightly different gear. So like Poska yeshiva mehem, yeshiva never stopped from them. And there's various places in Chassidus where it quotes it according to that lashon. So we see that when the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim, they had a yeshiva already. Hashem tells Moshe, go gather together the elders of the Jewish people. Now, elders doesn't just mean old people, as Rashi explains on the Pasuk. You can't possibly gather together all the old people of the Jewish people. There were 600,000 men alone, so you'd have hundreds of thousands of old people. So therefore, it has to mean the Skenim, as in the Talmud Chachamim. When they were doing the 40 years in the Midbar, also they had a yeshiva with them. Again, because Hashem tells Moshe, gather 70 of the elders of the Jewish people. And again, elders doesn't just mean old people, it means Tamid Chachamim. Avraham Avinu Zakin B'Yoshev Yeshiva Haya. Avraham Avinu was an elder who sat in the yeshiva. Shenema of Avraham Zakin Baba Yamin. The pasuk says Avraham was old. He had come into the days. Now, Maharsha explains like this. If it just meant physically that Avraham was old, we already had many years earlier when Yitzchak was born, before Yitzchak was born, even at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Sarah says about Avraham, Badoni Zakin. And now we're talking. By the way, when it comes to the pasuk of Avraham Zakin Baba Yamim, is almost 40 years later. Yitzchak is more than 40 years later. Yitzchak is going to be getting married. So why does it have to mention again that Avraham was old? If he was already old at age 99, of course he's old now. So it means, in other words, that he's a Zakin v'yoshev yeshiva. Zakin in the sense of a Talmud Chacham, Zakin Zeshakana Chachma, that he acquired Chachma. Yitzchak Avinu was also. It says when Yitzchak was old, then so it says he became blind. So the vote is, Marashah says, in other words, the pasuk is not just telling us something of gnai, something a fact about Yitzchak that would be embarrassing to him, that poor guy, he was old and blind. Rather, it's saying that he was a zaken, he was Yoshebi Yeshiva, and therefore he wore out his eyes learning Torah. So it's a compliment to him that he was a zaken, the Yoshebi Yeshiva, and that's why he became blind by wearing out his eyes, sitting and fratifing zichin Torah all those years. And Yaakov Avinu Zaken v'Yoshev Yishtiv Ahoya. Yaakov Avinu also was. Shenema v'Eni Yisroel Kov Dom Yizoken. Because by Yaakov also, you have his eyes were heavy because of age. Same idea. In other words, the Pasuk is telling us that not just not to embarrass Yaakov, but rather to compliment him. Look how much he gave up for learning Torah over the years that now he can barely see. Continues the Gemara. Eliezer Eved Avraham Zaken v'Yoshev Yishtiv Ahoya. Also, Eliezer Eved Avraham was a Zaken, was a Talmud Chacham who sat in the yeshiva and learned and taught. Shenema v'Yomer Avraham el Avdei Zaken Beisai. Avraham said to his servant, the elder of his household, Hamoshe B'chol Ashaloi, who controls everything that he has. And what does that mean? Omer Rabbi Elazar Shemoshe B'Torah Rabbi means that he controlled the Torah of his Rebbe. Meaning, in other words, Marsha explains, if it just meant that he controlled everything as he has. He has a blank check to do whatever is necessary with Avraham's property. I mean, the fact is that doesn't make him a moshel. It's still not his property to disburse however he wants. It's still an eved. He still has to listen to Avraham. What it means, therefore, is as far as Torah, that anything that he learned from Avraham, he has the right on his own to set up a yeshiva and teach people that. Obviously, he can't make up new things of his own that he didn't learn from Avraham, but everything that he learned from Torah Rabbi, he has full control what to teach to others and whatnot. And the pasuk mentions about Eliezer, the one place where it names him. It says, "Hu Damasek Eliezer." So the simple meaning of Damasek Eliezer means he came from Damasek, from Damascus. But Marsha says, first of all, among other things, if it meant that, then the word Damasek would be afterwards. Every place in Torah where someone's identified by the name of the place they come from, you always have his name first and the name of the place afterwards. Whereas here, you have Damasek first. And besides, which Marsha says anyway, he wasn't from Damasek; he was an Eved Kanani. He was from Canaan. So therefore, Amar Rabbi Elazar should doila umashke meturasi shor Rabbi la'achirim. The word Damasek is an acronym of the words doila umashke. He would draw out, like when you draw water from a well, and give to drink from the Torah of his Rebbe to others. So that's the, therefore he's called Damasek Eliezer in token of that. So we see, in other words, the point is that Avraham and all the others, and later on throughout the Jewish people, they were always zaken v'yoshev yeshiva. So Avraham, who had that expertise, therefore, is able to daven mincha right after chatzos, but not necessarily the rest of us. Okay. In this connection, Omer Rav kiyam Avraham avinu kol haTorah kula. Avraham kept the entire Torah. Shenema ekev asher shama Avraham b'kol gomer, as the pasuk says, because Avraham listened to my voice and he kept my mitzvahs. The pasuk continues. So Amalei of Shimi bar Chiya l'Rav, sort of Shimi bar Chiya asked Rav, "Be'ema sheva mitzvahs." How do you know that means Avraham kept the whole Torah? Maybe it means he kept only the sheva mitzvahs. The answer is it can't be just sheva mitzvahs. Hoikanami mila. After all, we know Avraham got the mitzvah of mila as well. So if nothing else, you have to ask. Maybe he kept only the sheva mitzvahs plus mila. Okay, ve'ema sheva mitzvahs of mila. Fine. So maybe sort of Shimi Bachia's question is fine. Maybe it means Avraham kept only the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach plus mila, which he was given personally, and that's it. Amalei, so Rav says, "Imkain mitzvoisa v'seroisa lamali." If that were the case, then the posse could have just said that Avraham listened to Hashem's voice. The fact that it adds that he did chukosai and mitzvoisai and toroisai shows that we're talking about more than just the sheva mitzvah Bnei Noach plus mila. We're talking about that he did all the other mitzvahs. Now an interesting point is there's a Mishnah in Kiddushin that says osa Avraham Avinu matzinu sha'osa Avraham Avinu es kol haTorah ad shel nitna. So what is the Gemara over here adding to that? So what is Rav adding to that by saying that Avraham kept all the mitzvahs? So Marsha says, because if you only had the Mishnah and Kiddushin, you could say maybe it means he only kept the esses. How do we know he also kept the lois esses? For that, we need what Rav is saying over here. The Rebbe talks about this in a sicha in Chelik Lamed Hei. and discusses that you need more than that. I mean, why would we think that Avraham would keep only one set of mitzvahs and not another one? Why would we think he's only careful about the esses and not careful about the lois esses? So the Rebbe goes on with a bit of an explanation about it. The gist of it is that Avraham Avinu, that kiyim goes beyond osa in the sense. Osa just means he did the physical maisim. But we know that before Matan Torah, you couldn't be mile of the world. As a famous marshal in the Medrash goes, that there was like an embargo between Shemayim and Oretz. Bnei Roimi la yal la yod la surya, Bnei Surya la yal la Roimi. Gashmius can't become Ruchnius, Ruchnius can't go down to Gashmius until Matan Torah, when Hashem broke that and said, from now on, you're able to. So the point is, also would just mean he did the actual physical ma'aseh mitzvahs, but not necessarily in a way of bringing Kedusha into the world. Kiyim, which Rav is saying over here, means that Avraham was actually able to be mekayim. He was able to accomplish with his mitzvahs what we accomplish with our mitzvahs to bring Kedusha into the world. And the Rebbe says, that's in fact why the Gemara is bringing this over here. It's not just as a side thing, since we mentioned Avraham Avinu davening, then we're mentioning, and learning in yeshiva, then we're mentioning this. It illuminates what we said before. When we started saying in the Gemara before that Avraham Avinu davened as early as possible and that we should learn from him. And when we said that Avraham Avinu learned in yeshiva and throughout the generations, there were always people learning in yeshiva. What we mean is that Avraham did that in the same way as we do, in a way that actually brings Kedusha down into the world. So Avraham Avinu accomplished that. Marsha, by the way, gets into a long discussion over here. But what about, for example, we see that Avraham married Sarah, who was his she was his half sister, at least according to some Mefarshim, and that's also after the Torah was given. And the answer is because he married her before he had his bris milah. He learns that when we say over here that Avraham kept the whole Torah, means primarily after he had his bris milah. So once he's already married to her, then he's allowed to stay married to her. Al derech, like a ger is allowed to stay married to a relative relative that he's married to, at least under some conditions. And Marsha goes through a number of other things. What about Yaakov marrying the two sisters? What about, Marsha and many, many Mefarshim before and after him deal with various details of that. If we say that the Ovis kept the whole Torah, then how does that fit with these various things that we find over there? As far as the sisters, you have the answer that he was already, you have the answer that some of the Mefarshim give, that they only kept the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, or that they would pick and choose which ones to keep. There's a sicha where the Rebbe talks about that since Yaakov had promised to marry Rachel, then he had to follow through that promise, because even his personal chumra might be not to marry two sisters, but it was an accepted thing in the world, almost like one of the Shem Mitzvahs in Nayach, that you have to keep your word, and therefore he has to do that. So if he ends up with Leah, then he has no choice but to marry Rachel as well. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off. Omer Rav, Rav says, Robert says on the side, V'temer Ravashi, Kiyim Avraham Avinu Afilu Eruvei Tavshilin. Not only did Avraham keep all the mitzvahs Daraisa, he even kept all the mitzvahs Dirabbanan, even Eruv Tavshilin. Which now there are actually different gersois over here, Eruv Tavshilin, Eruv Tchumin. So why would we stress Eruv Tavshilin? One reason is because it's a takana of the Chachamim. The Ritva, I think, says that also the fact is most takanas of the Chachamim are to prevent us from doing Averis. When you get down to it, Eruv Tavshilin is not really to prevent us from doing an Avera. It's really more for the covered of Shabbos. So even a takana like that, that's not to prevent us from doing an Avera, even that Avraham Avinu kept. There was a different Girsa Eruv Tchumin, and it's brought in the name of the Vilna Gaon, among others, and therefore we learn it from the word Ekev, that it means something that he kept with his heels, that he wouldn't allow his heels to walk outside the Tchum unless he put down an Eruv. The Sefer Yuchsin has a vorta in it that he says, besides for the simple meaning that Avraham kept these mitzvahs, it also, why Davka is the Gemara stressing this mitzvah of Eruv Tavshilin or Eruv Tchumin, because it also represents what Avraham accomplished in the world, the revolution that he brought about. What's the whole idea of Eruv Tavshilin is to have covered for Shabbos. You're going to start your preparations for Shabbos before Yom Tov, and then you're going to continue them on Yom Tov, showing that Shabbos is more important than Yom Tov. Shabbos reminds us that Hashem created the world, and that was Avraham Avinu's whole life work, was to go around and remind people that the Eibishter created the world and still runs it. So therefore, when we're saying that he kept Eruv Tavshilin, represents an aspect of his life's work of teaching the people that Sfarana Gotaf and Welt. So he kept even that, Shenema Toroys Soy, because the Pasuk says that he kept my Toroys in the plural, meaning Achas Torah Shebichsav, but Achas Torah Shebalpeh. He kept both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh, and Eruv Tavshilin, or Eruv Tchumin, is part of Torah Shebalpeh, so he kept that as well. We said also he kept the mitzvahs d'rabbanan, right? So Torah Shabbat Peh includes the mitzvahs d'rabbanan. That's what we're saying. Okay. Then the Mishnah had said, Masi ben Shmuel oimer b'chol v'hu oimer hein. We said in the Mishnah that Masi ben Shmuel said that when we're trying to figure out how light it is in the sky, that he would say, Heyo kol pnei mizrach, that the whole eastern sky is lit. The Mishnah continues, Ad shebechevron, until chevron, v'hu oimer hein. And he says, yes. So again, we said, according to most of Rishonim, Masi ben Shmuel is a Tana, who's arguing with the Tanakama of the Mishnah how light it had to be or what Lashon they used. Rashi in Menachos says that maybe what it means is just he himself was standing there in the Bais HaMikdash because he's getting ready to do the piyosis. So he wants to know, you're telling me it's light, but is it light enough, Ad shebechevron? So the question is, Man oimer hein, who is saying the word hein in the Mishnah? Ilema hach de koya igra. Is it the one who's standing on the roof? So he says ad shebechevron b'hu oimer hein, and it's light enough as far as chevron, and he says yes. Why is he saying yes? The same person has the dream and he's the one who interprets it. In other words, if he himself, why is he asking the question, is it light enough as far as chevron, and he himself answering yes? He's the one standing up there. He sees what's going on. So you're going to say it means the one who's standing on the ground, that the one on the roof is asking, is it light enough until chevron? And the one on the ground says yes. But no, yada. How is he supposed to know? The whole point is they have to have somebody on the roof to know how light it is. So the Gemara says, you could explain it either way. You could say that the word hein is being said by the person on the ground, or you could say it's by the person on the roof. You could explain it's the one standing on the roof as follows. The one on the roof says, Heyo kol pnei mizrach. The whole eastern sky is lit up. But the one standing on the ground asks, Ad shebechevron, is it lit up as far as chevron? And the one on the roof says, yes, it is lit up as far as chevron. That's one way. Another way we can parse the Mishnah, it means that the one who's standing on the ground says hein. Namely, the one on the roof says the entire eastern sky is lit. And then he also says, the one on the ground asks, is the entire eastern sky lit? But Amalei, and the one on the roof, being a good yid and answering another question with another question, says, Ad shebechevron, are you asking whether it's lit as far as chevron? But Amalei hein, and the one on the ground says, yes, that's what I'm asking. And then the one on the roof says, respectively, yes or no, whether it is or not, but the Mishnah didn't bother mentioning that. So we can understand the conversation in the Mishnah. Either way, either it's a statement followed by a question, followed by an answer, or a question, followed by another question, followed by an answer to clarify the original question. Okay, so anyway, so that was the bottom line. Eventually they would have it lit up enough for that purpose. The Rambam paskins like Masi ben Shmuel, partly on the grounds of the fact that the Gemara discusses over here his opinion. And therefore you have to have Heyo kol pnei mizrach, the whole eastern sky has to be lit up, and that's when they can shech the korban talmid and start the avodas of the day. Right. Exactly.